It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Here on the South Side, which is home to 90.5 WESA, we're not too far from Carson Street, which has become a well-chronicled destination spot for weekend revelers. And with Memorial Day approaching, there is no doubt that in a few days, the restaurants, bars, and clubs will be hopping. It's great for business, but it comes with risks when bar patrons overindulge. You've been told for years not to drink and drive, but who is responsible if you do? That is the question we're looking at today, and I'm joined by our legal contributor, University of Pittsburgh law professor David Harris. He joins me in Studio A. David Harris, welcome back to Essential Pittsburgh.
Good to be with you again, Paul.
And if you'd like to join the conversation, call us at 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear from bartenders. How do you handle the situation when one of your patrons has overindulged? Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Once again, the phone number, 412-246-2002. So, David Harris, this is going to sound like the beginning of a bad joke, but here's the scenario we'll go with. A guy walks into a bar. He's already had a couple of drinks. He proceeds to sit down for at least a couple more hours and have at least a half dozen more drinks. He leaves and gets into an accident. Who is responsible?
Well, he is certainly. There is nothing that ever has changed that. The person drinking, the person intoxicated, is ultimately responsible for his own behavior. But in addition, under Pennsylvania's law, like most states, a bar or a restaurant that serves a person can also be responsible, but only if they serve the person when the person was visibly intoxicated. Not just intoxicated, not just had a few drinks, but visibly intoxicated. That actually limits the liability of bar and restaurant owners, because otherwise they might be responsible under conventional tort law for anything a patron does if they had a role in it. And they're serving intoxicants, legal ones to be sure, but they might be liable for what the intoxicated person does. What the law in Pennsylvania does, like most states, is it says the bar or restaurant owner is responsible, but only if the bar served a visibly intoxicated person.
If a bartender noticed, well, let's back up here. What would be the signs of visible intoxication? What does the bartender have to see?
Well, you can count it down just like you can do through a stroll on Carson Street any Saturday night. People staggering, people slurring their speech.
Right, but these are people walking on the street. What about the person sitting at the bar who isn't bothering anybody, minding their own business, but just pounding the drinks?
Pounding the drinks is not the thing. What we're looking for is visible signs of intoxication. We know that people can get intoxicated on more and less alcohol, depending on their size, their metabolism, and so forth. The only obligation of the bartender or the restaurant person is if they see visible signs of intoxication, a person unable to sit up, stand up, talk, a person visibly vomiting, any of those things, that would tell any reasonable person that this is a person who is intoxicated and therefore should be cut off.
If a bartender then notices any of these signs and serves even one more drink to this intoxicated person, then what happens? What could happen?
The liquor licensee, the bar, which employs the bartender, would then potentially be on the hook if the intoxicated person left the bar and caused some damage or injury.
412-246-2002 is the number to call to join the conversation with our guest, David Harris. We would like to hear from you, your thoughts on the subject. Also, bartenders, bar owners, how do you handle the situation of someone who is intoxicated and could potentially go out into society and cause harm, which you could ultimately be responsible for as the bar owner? Last Tuesday, as was reported in the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, Hofbrauhaus in the South Side agreed to a $15.6 million settlement after a man was served 200 ounces of beer, downed several shots, and later sped down Carson Street, slamming into an oncoming vehicle, killing a 7-year-old girl and seriously injuring her mother. There was video evidence they served the man, even though he was clearly drunk. What questions does this extraordinary incident raise about how bars and restaurants are supposed to deal with the relatively ordinary behavior of customers who want to drink to excess?
Well, it's a very, very sad and unfortunate case. But what this tells us is that when bars and restaurants see a person exhibiting the signs of intoxication, and it was on the video, my understanding, there was video evidence of it here with the man being intoxicated, they must cut them off. If they don't cut them off and they serve them more alcohol once there is a sign of visible intoxication, they can be held responsible. Now, I read a lot of the comments on local boards after the Hofbräuhaus settlement, and people seem to be upset that somehow what happened to personal responsibility? Why is the bar owner responsible and not this fellow? Well, the fellow's responsible too.
So this does not absolve the drunk?
Not at all, not in any way. He'll suffer criminally. He can suffer financially. It simply adds the liability of the bar or restaurant owner, but only if there were visible signs of intoxication. And, of course, you always have problems of proof. In this case, there was actual video evidence, so there was no problem of proof.
Does there have to be video evidence for the victim of a drunk driver to successfully sue a drinking establishment?
No. There only needs to be some evidence. It could come in the form of testimony from other customers, testimony from other employees.
That seems, I'm not a lawyer, but that seems kind of flimsy. That if it comes down to a he said, she said type of thing as opposed to something that you can clearly see.
No, it's not flimsy, because this is the way our system works. In every case, you have people testifying about the things they observe, the things they know, and if there is a dispute in the testimony, the jury simply resolves it. And the law is very clear. Not only does the person have to be intoxicated, there have to be visible signs.
It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. I'm with our legal contributor, University of Pittsburgh Law Professor David Harris. You can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. Let's go to Anthony in West Mifflin. Anthony, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Well, thank you for having me. First of all, I'd like to state just an observation. I think the whole liability towards the bars is just predicated by deep pockets. You know, there's a large influence, and I don't own a bar, okay? It's a large influence by the Pennsylvania Trial Lawyers Association. You know, you can go out and hit somebody drunk driving. The most you're going to get, you know, is a limitation upon their auto insurance, basically. You can try and chase them civilly, but, you know, again, that's very difficult. The other point that I'd like to bring up, if that is fair, why does the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board have an exemption and an intoxicated man can walk in and buy a fifth of liquor and walk out of a liquor store, and yet you can't touch the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board? You know, maybe you could explain that to me, and thank you.
An interesting question from Anthony. He's saying that why should the bar owners be on the hook for the behavior of their bar patrons?
They're on the hook because the law would put them on the hook anyway. Anytime you, in any business or profession or pursuit, do something that contributes to the harm or injury of another person or their property, you are potentially liable. What this law does is actually limit the liability of bar and restaurant owners by saying they're only responsible if the intoxication was visible. Without that, they aren't responsible at all, even though conventional tort law might hold them responsible. This isn't the influence of the Pennsylvania trial lawyers. This is tort law that comes from England hundreds and hundreds of years ago. As to his second question about the Liquor Control Board.
Yeah, he's saying that what's the difference between a bar that overserves a patron who is intoxicated and the liquor store selling a fifth of bourbon, say, to a customer who then consumes that and does harm to another citizen.
There is no difference. The law pertains to all liquor licensees. It can be a bar, a restaurant, a liquor store. As long as there was visible signs of intoxication, if harm results, they're all on the hook. There's no liability, though, for the Liquor Control Board itself.
For the liquor store, the state store.
The state store. That this is where we get into the never-never land of the very odd arrangement we have in Pennsylvania where the state runs liquor stores.
Right, and what, if I understood Anthony correctly, he's saying, well, why couldn't somebody turn around and sue the state for selling somebody the liquor that caused them to do the bodily harm to someone else?
Well, if a licensee sells liquor to somebody who's visibly intoxicated, they're on the hook. I don't know, frankly, if state liquor stores are considered licensees or not.
Interesting. So Anthony raises a very salient point and a question that we're going to have to look into a little bit further. As we continue our conversation with University of Pittsburgh Law Professor David Harris, you can join the conversation 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. As we consider the question of who is responsible when someone walks out of a bar and is intoxicated and does harm to another citizen, as Mr. Harris said, the bar owners are responsible. We'll look at what else the bartenders and bar owners must do to prevent someone from leaving and causing harm in a drunken state to other citizens as Essential Pittsburgh continues here on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. We're looking at the question of who is responsible. If you go to a bar, overindulge, and then get in your car and cause harm to another citizen, 412-246-2002 is the number to call, 412-246-2002. If you'd like to join the conversation with our guest, University of Pittsburgh Law Professor David Harris, our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at @ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. David, before we take another call, before we went to the break, there was a question from Anthony in West Mifflin asking about the difference between the responsibility of bar owners and those of proprietors of liquor establishments here in Pennsylvania. Of course, we have the state stores. And so the question came up, what happens if a store sells somebody a bottle of something and they proceed to maybe drink it all on the spot and drive away and get into trouble? Can, for example, a victim of a drunken driver in that instance turn around and sue the state because they run the liquor stores?
This is one of the great Pennsylvania mysteries, I think. The state is not going to be liable to suit because the state has sovereign immunity, and they only have to be liable to suit if they say they want to be liable to suit in a law. You have other kinds of liquor selling establishments, for instance, beer distributorships. Those are private businesses. They serve, even though they serve in a keg or something like that. Any private business which is a liquor licensee will be liable under this same law if they serve a visibly intoxicated person, not just a bar or a restaurant. But the state stores themselves fall into a sort of legal gray area where they are actually run by the state, so they may not be sued themselves.
Interesting. 412-246-2002. Let's go to Angelina in Greensburg. Angelina, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, how are you?
Good, and you? Welcome to the show.
Well, I actually received my license for bartending at a bartending school in Pittsburgh, and I started out worked bartending at a music venue, and then I moved to California, the state, and worked at a high-class country club. And the difference between how we were treating our intoxicated patrons is a lot different at a music venue as opposed to a country club because you can't really tell them, you know, you're not to tell them when they can stop and when they can at a country club. But I've had to cut people off. And when I was in bartending school, we were trained that whenever you see somebody, you're supposed to give them peanuts or you're supposed to, you know, you have to ask them to leave if they're intoxicated and give them food or water or something. But we were told that our license personally can be taken if we were to give somebody who is visibly intoxicated a drink because we were licensed. We could have our bartending license taken away.
Was that at
serving somebody intoxicated?
Was that at the music venue or the country club?
I had to cut people off at the music venue in Greensburg. And, you know, they get really mad and they try to start a fight or they might have to get pulled out. But the country club, during weddings and things like that, you don't really delegate how much they drink, you know.
Well, that sounds like a potentially troublesome scenario there, David Harris.
Oh, it is. This is such an interesting comment, Angelina, because in either case, both the music venue and the country club are liquor licensees. But at the country club, you have people who are members, and there is a sense of entitlement with membership. They're paying to be part of that establishment. And so that puts the staff in a very, very difficult position, as you no doubt noticed. And so you take the other kinds of measures that I know you're training tells you to do. You give other beverages, other food. You recommend that people chill out. Whereas at the music venue, you simply say, no, I'm not going to serve you anymore. You're visibly intoxicated and people just have to take it. They might argue with you, but that's it.
But is the country club any different, really? Because you've got the same potential for harm if someone, whether it's the country club or the music venue, if somebody has too much to drink and they leave and get into an accident. What's the difference?
There is no difference. If the country club has a liquor license, if it is a liquor licensee under the Pennsylvania Liquor Code, they have the same obligations. And it makes it a very difficult situation for people like Angelina.
So Angelina may want to think about, or people who are doing that job at a country club, bartending in a country club, may want to think about cutting patrons off if, in fact, they've had too much to drink.
Yeah, and you may be stuck in the position of going to your supervisor, going to somebody who runs the club to see if you can get people to respect the limits rather than push you on them.
Yeah, because you could get called on the carpet for cutting off Senator so-and-so, but you were just simply trying to do the responsible thing. So legally, the answer is clear. Liquor license holders must refrain from serving anyone who is visibly intoxicated. But is this the only standard, David, that must be met?
It is. Now, what you find when you dig into this is that a lot of very responsible bartenders and bar owners will look for ways to keep people out of trouble by trying to spot the visible intoxication in the early going and serve food. Take away car keys, things like that, call people cabs, but they're not under any kind of legal obligation to make sure that the person isn't driving. Their only obligation, and this is why I say it's a limit to their liability, not extra liability, their only obligation is to cut people off when they're visibly intoxicated. Many people in the hospitality industry go the extra mile. They try hard. They want people to be safe. They don't want the public to be endangered. But those things aren't required by the law. They're simply doing more than the law requires.
So if someone is intoxicated but not visibly so, there's no recourse there?
Well, there's recourse, of course, against a driver or a patron.
No, but I'm saying
not against the bar or
right.
the restaurant.
Okay.
If the person is not visibly intoxicated, then there is no real reason for the bar or restaurant to know that the person poses a danger by consuming more alcohol.
And ultimately, I'm guessing it would be the bartender, but who decides how to put that legal standard, the visible intoxication, into practice?
Well, in the first event, it's the bartender or the server. They're the ones who observe the person consuming. If there is a dispute about that, The training calls upon the server or the bartender to consult others who may be present or to consult somebody who's in charge, who is above them. And frankly, there are very few other ways around that. We know that different people metabolize, different people manifest differently. So it's always a judgment call.
Right. Well, yeah, and that's a very important point to make, is that everybody is different. They assimilate the alcohol into their system differently depending on size, how much they've eaten, tolerance levels, all of that kind of thing. Let's go to Ted in Shadyside, 412-246-2002. Ted, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello, thanks for having me on. I just wanted to comment about the state liquor store versus the being served at a bar. I think the difference is in culpability. With the state liquor store, I only view their liability as making sure you're of age, whereas if you're at a bar or an establishment, they're visibly serving you while you're still intoxicated. So they have a willful and knowing culpability to continue to serve you, and that aspect lacks from, you know, the state liquor store or the beer distributor.
Well,
so I don't think they should be held to that same standard.
Well, that's two different points you're making there. You're saying you don't think they should, and there probably are plenty of people who would agree with you. But what David is saying is that while you can't, there's no recourse to sue the state because the state is not liable. A beer distributor, anybody that has their own private business selling alcohol, they would in fact be in the same position that the bar owner would be in potentially.
That's right. That's the distinction. And I think Ted is making a very, very good point when he talks about the fact that a store selling an object, a keg of beer or whatever it is in a little different spot than somebody actually serving beer ready to be drunk in a glass. However, if you're a liquor licensee, then the same rules apply to you as a bar or a restaurant. If you are not a liquor licensee, you are under different rules. Pennsylvania Liquor Code talks in terms of you being a liquor licensee, and those are the only ones that this applies to.
Thank you for the call, Ted. Apparently, relatively few liquor licenses are ever investigated by the Bureau of Liquor Control Enforcement. Should they be?
Well, yes. Anytime you have a system of regulation, you want there to be adequate staff to investigate potential violations, to test the compliance system. And we want this in any kind of pursuit where we have regulations, whether it's regulating a chemical factory down in Texas or regulating bars on South Carson Street, on East Carson Street. But we know that the state budgets being as stretched as they are, we don't have quite enough inspectors, perhaps. We don't have as many as we would like. And that leaves a lot of slack in the system. And an irresponsible bar owner or bartender, I'm sure there aren't many of those, but there are probably some, is going to push the limits if the only question to them is whether or not they're going to get caught.
Kevin Joyce, a past president and current board member of the Western chapter of the Pennsylvania Restaurant and Lodging Association, was quoted as saying, if you have a person in that situation, they're drunk, you have to get their keys, you have to try to call them a cab. Is that something a bartender or bar owner is legally required to do?
Legally, no. As far as I know, there is no obligation to get the keys or call a cab. What Kevin is articulating is his view of the duties of the hospitality industry when they face situations like that. And it really shows that they want to be responsible under their own codes of behavior and ways of looking at what they do. They want the public to be safe when people consume their products. I think that's admirable, but it's not legally required under the Pennsylvania Liquor Code. All you have to do is stop serving people who are visibly intoxicated.
As bar patrons and bar owners become more aware of what the law requires of them, do you see the culture changing at all, or evolving out of this culture that we see in many parts of the city where you know somebody's had a bit too much, but you're going to keep serving them because you want to make that money?
Well, the culture around alcohol altogether has changed some over the last 30 years. It used to be, I mean, I'm sure you can remember this yourself, Paul, having a little bit to drink and then driving was not considered such a big deal. Mothers Against Drunk Driving changed that entirely beginning a couple of decades ago. There are still people that do it, don't get me wrong, but it is much less common than it used to be, and there's much more enforcement. As we go through time, we will see a shift in attitudes, much like what we see in the attitude of Kevin from the association. He wants his members to behave responsibly, even if there is not a legal obligation to do it. And that's the kind of social change we need, so that even if there aren't enough inspectors, we get responsible behavior.
412-246-2002. Let's take one last call from Judy in Pittsburgh. Judy, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Hi.
Hi. I just wanted to respond to that gentleman who was asking the difference between liquor store sales and bar sales. You're correct that if it's sold in a glass, that's open liquor, and that's a different story. It falls under a different set of laws. However, in the state store system, the clerks are told from the very beginning not to sell a bottle to somebody who's visibly intoxicated. Their ID, their employee ID number, is on that sales slip and the store number where they bought the bottle. So if somebody is intoxicated and goes out and gets into a wreck, that comes right back to that clerk that sold them the bottle. That clerk will lose their job immediately.
Isn't that interesting? That is a very interesting thing to know. So
state store employees all know this. They're very much aware of the fact.
Mm-hmm.
That's why they're so busy carding all these young kids.
Yeah. Well, I enjoy it when they card me, because it makes me think that I'm a little younger than I am.
I wish they would card me.
Yes, I'm with you.
But that's the general rule, whether it's written down or whatever, I don't know. But when they're hired, they're told not to sell to anybody that's visibly intoxicated. And it's on camera. Those state stores all have cameras.
And, Judy, I'm not sure if I heard you say this, but have you worked for a state store, or
I do not work for a state store. I have a relative who does.
I see. Okay, so that's how you found out that little interesting bit of information.
I've known that for years.
Well, that's a great point, and it's great for us to know that, Judy. Thank you so much for sharing that information with us.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Well, it's been a fascinating conversation. I think we've all learned something, even our esteemed expert, our legal contributor, David Harris.
The best thing is when you can walk away saying, I know something I didn't know before.
University of Pittsburgh Law Professor David Harris, as always, great thanks for joining us.
My pleasure, Paul.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Serving alcohol comes with a lot of responsibilities for bar owners and their employees. Serving minors or people who are visibly intoxicated can result in serious consequences. Minimizing the risks for all concerned is one of the goals of the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board's RAMP program. Joining me by phone is Lori Rizzo, director of the program. Lori Rizzo, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hi, thank you for having me.
RAMP stands for Responsible Alcohol Management Program. How was the RAMP program started, and what are the goals?
The RAMP program was actually started back in 1993 as a program for servers of alcohol. And then with legislation enacted in 2001, it progressed into a certification program. The main goal of RAMP is to prevent alcohol sales to minors and visibly intoxicated persons by educating the licensees and their staff about responsible serving practices.
The bartenders in these situations, they're being pulled in a lot of different directions. Their business wants them to sell drinks, but they have to do it responsibly. What challenges do they face when trying to prevent the over-serving of customers?
Oftentimes, one of the challenges is just simply being able to recognize the signs of impairment, and sometimes in a crowded bar when they're serving many patrons, they often don't know what they might have done before coming to their establishment. So just watching out for, you know, the visible signs that people often show when they're consuming alcohol can help them determine whether or not they've been overserved or should at least keep an eye on the person and possibly slow down service.
If a bar patron is visibly intoxicated, what strategies do you recommend bartenders use to stop serving them?
Through the ramp training, they learn different techniques and skills in stopping service. Oftentimes, it's not a pleasant thing to do, so oftentimes licensees or owners will encourage the servers to enlist the help of their manager, just trying to, you know, keep the situation from escalating, you know, do it in a confident way, and oftentimes a discreet way often works best rather than drawing attention to the customer.
And what are the techniques? What is it that you're recommending that the bartenders do specifically to prevent a situation from getting out of hand?
Well, I mean, the number one thing is to stop service. I mean, it is illegal to serve alcohol to a visibly intoxicated patron. If you could find something else to offer them, such as, you know, coffee, tea, soda, some sort of food, try to, you know, anything that you can do to shift their emphasis from drinking and maybe engage them in another activity.
Since the ramp program started, what type of feedback have you heard from servers and from bar owners?
Very positive comments. I think a lot of times when they're in a training with other people in their same situation, other servers, you know, oftentimes they'll hear questions asked that perhaps they weren't even thinking and realize that, you know, they didn't know that answer, they didn't know that law, and just, you know, having the open discussion and the questions from others in the same field and that have the same concerns often give them more confidence to do, you know, what it is we're teaching them to do.
It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer on 90.5 WESA. We're speaking with Lori Rizzo, director of the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board's Responsible Alcohol Management Program, or RAMP. And Lori, what is involved in the certification process?
It's a certification process for the licensed establishment, and there's actually five components to RAMP. Two of them have to do with training, one for the owners and the managers, and then also training for those who serve and sell the alcohol. We also have some posters alerting the public of, you know, the responsible serving practices and the types of ID that are acceptable to purchase alcohol. And once the establishment completes all of those steps, then they become RAMP certified.
And how long does it take?
Well, once certified, the program is good for 2 years. The training itself can, you know, be done in one short day. So it really depends on the licensee. They can also take advantage of completing the training online for the server-seller training, and we are soon to implement our owner-manager training online as well. We're piloting that right now with some licensees, so we look for that to come in the near future.
Is RAMP training taught during bartending classes? And if not, would you like to see it as part of their curriculum?
In some instances, it is. It's not a requirement of a bartender in Pennsylvania. I mean, it is a voluntary program. But yeah, that would be something, you know, that we would work with the school with if they were interested in doing so.
Have you been able to track the progress of this and whether it's preventing people from getting into trouble when they leave the bars, especially if they are intoxicated?
Sometimes it's hard to track just for the simple fact that the Liquor Control Board is not responsible for the enforcement of the liquor code. That's actually done by the Pennsylvania State Police Liquor Control Enforcement. So I don't really have in front of me citation numbers or anything like that.
But what it does sound like is that, considering the trouble that a bar owner or bartender can get into when someone walks out of the bar and has an accident or worse, it sounds like this is a program that's going to save them a lot of grief in the long run.
Sure, that's our number one goal. You know, one of the incentives for becoming RAMP certified is to reduce your chances of unnecessary liability. So our hope is that once they learn, there's many, obviously, laws in the liquor code, but once they learn the laws that we focus on in RAMP, such as the not serving minors and the IDs and the visibly intoxicated patrons, that they would lessen any chance of liability in those areas.
Are there insurance discounts given for ramp training?
Yes, oftentimes there are, but it depends on the individual insurance company. What we're also seeing is more of a trend of the with the insurance industry that they're mandating or they're requiring the licensee to become ramp certified or be trained in a similar program in order to even cover them.
Lori Rizzo is director of the Pennsylvania Liquor Control Board's Responsible Alcohol Management Program, referred to as RAMP. She joined us here on Essential Pittsburgh. Lori, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
Coming up, attention job seekers. Business contributor Rebecca Harris offers advice on putting together the perfect resume. That's next as Essential Pittsburgh continues on 90.5 WESA.